Hey, good afternoon. This is Donna Wells here in Washington, D.C. It's January 20th, 2021. I want to tell the Anders Osland story. This should be and can be told many times, so let me tell the story today, and a different day I'll tell it again. Who is Anders Osland? Aslund. He is a Swedish economist. He's a really famous economist. My grandpa's name's Sam Wells. He was a Rhodes Scholar, but then he was a diplomat before he worked for Time Incorporated. His brother, my uncle, was the Bishop of Kansas City. My last name is Wells, so Bells. I actually went to high school with Doug Galbraith. His grandpa was John Kenneth Galbraith. J.B. Galbraith is a professor at the LBJ School. My hometown's Austin, Texas. The LBJ School is that. So I, Donna Wells, know Doug Galbraith, but I also know his dad. I've actually been to John Kenneth Galbraith's cabin in Vermont because I was visiting the Galbraiths. John Kenneth Galbraith is a famous economist. The word economist is its own joke. I think maybe a long time ago, maybe, for example, people might tell lawyer jokes or, this word economist is kind of a joke in the sense that might he be a charlatan. But John Kenneth Galbraith is a famous economist. I actually went to high school with Doug Galbraith. J.B. Galbraith is John Kenneth Galbraith's son. He's a professor at the LBJ School. My hometown's Austin, Texas. The point, I just want to a little bit set the story up such that who is Anders Osland? He is an economist, and people can make economist jokes. I think people probably used to make lawyer jokes. Because people might be charlatans. Just, do we think John Kenneth Galbraith was a good economist? Maybe. Of course, John Maynard Keynes was an economist. There exists Keynesian economics. So this is. Anders Osland specifically is a Swedish economist. And I didn't meet him, but I was about maybe 20 or 40 feet from him. I attended a lecture he gave here in Washington at a think tank. And I couldn't believe it was like in a movie, maybe. In Hollywood, they make scenes like this. Kind of you don't believe that the events around you are happening. I couldn't believe. Here, see, somehow I was in this room with Anders Osland. Anders Osland is a larger than life. He's a larger than life person. Anders Osland is larger than life. That day how I walked to that room, I just somehow I got there without even walking, maybe. I was just, somehow I found myself sitting in this chair, and here is Anders Osland right in front of me. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. He is a larger than life economist. Right in the 90s, after the Berlin Wall fell down, and it is storied about Russia in the 1990s. Anders Osland is a 1990s era economist about Russia. He is exactly an expert in the Russian economy. So he is from Sweden, but he is a 1990s era economist in the sense that he is an expert in the Russian economy. But the story, it's not a long story. Kind of the entire story is me at this lecture. The content of the lecture is interesting. I just different parts of the story. So, Anders Åsland is a Swedish economist, but during the 1990s, he was a real expert in exactly the Russian economy. And I studied in St. Petersburg. I studied at St. Petersburg State Polytechnic Institute. And the economists in the 90s, many of them came from St. Petersburg. Of course, St. Petersburg is in the north near Sweden, kind of. Finland and Estonia are closer. St. Petersburg is kind of near Sweden. But many, it makes sense that Anders Åsland was networked with these St. Petersburg economists because Sweden is kind of near, St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg is in the north near Scandinavia. So let me describe the content of the lecture, though. There's just no way for Anders Åsland. At the time, he was a fellow at the Peterson Institute, which is in DuPont Circle. It's actually right across the street from the Brookings Institute. The Peterson Institute of. I make fun of the name of that place, so. Just a side joke, if you could join in with me and make fun of the Peterson Institute, but. I think it's the Peterson Institute of International Economics, PIIE. It's kind of like the chief of staff, general chief of staff school of Fort Leavenworth. It's got like three or four too many words. The Peterson Institute of International Economics. So if you want to with me, we could all make fun of the Peterson Institute. This is it's got a really long name. But at the time, I attended a lecture at a different think tank. He was at the time a fellow at the Peterson Institute. So his day, we both live here, at the time lived here in Washington. That day, I got up, went over, and saw the lecture. Normally, his day is go to the Peterson Institute, but that day went to go to this other think tank to give the lecture. And both of us are in this room. There might the kid Anders that morning could not have had a sense of his audience that day, in the sense that I'm now 37, but I've been kind of studying this for many years. Anders could not have had a sense that I was there, that I had studied in St. Petersburg. He could not have understood, in the sense that who I was about, I am for a living a Russian scholar. So his behavior and manner was that he was kind of the point of the lecture here is that. His behavior and that's why it is charlatanism. So, if you know you're being audited, you'll behave differently. His behavior and manner at the time, people can just say anything, and people mindlessly sit and listen. I was listening. He had my complete attention that day. You can imagine I sat there. He had my complete attention. I wanted to hear exactly what he had to say. I couldn't believe I was there. I couldn't believe he was there. But if you get the sense of the two people being him, he had my complete attention. And he had kind of the sense that he could say anything and nobody would notice. What his presentation was about was economic growth in Eastern Europe. The country of Moldova, it is a paradox. Let me get to the what I'll say about his lecture though. Moldova, maybe at the time had steep economic growth. But Moldova is a small country, it would struggle. It really does, might not. The paradox is that as there might be economic growth in Moldova, that would be difficult because you'd wonder about graft. It's Moldova's kind of remote. Just is that a good idea not to invest, so to speak, in Moldova, but it would be difficult to regulate investments in Moldova. Just the paradox is that, Anders can describe and illustrate how there is economic growth in Moldova, but the realities of the infrastructure in Moldova probably can't support healthy long-term growth. And I think that day he might have been guilty of charlatanism. Later, months later, maybe, I saw him walk into a pharmacy in DuPont Circle. And even today, every time I walk by that pharmacy, I think to myself, Anders Osland walked into this pharmacy. So it just the paradox of Moldova is that it's not always better, more economic growth, because healthy long-term growth, because Moldova is kind of remote, it would be difficult to regulate. Ideally, what kind of economic growth should there be in Moldova? I think he was guilty of charlatanism that day, because it seems kind of unwise to tell everybody to invest in Moldova, because you might better in Moldova slow healthy growth instead of a lot. You and I can consider Moldova and the infrastructure in Moldova, and you just worry about grafts and regulating things there. So this is Donna Wells here in Washington, D.C. Have a really great day.